Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, it is. And this morning in the studio, we have got Gabriella Barron, who is a new lecturer in the design program at the University of Auckland. Welcome, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
You're most welcome. It's awesome to be able to chat to you. The design program is actually quite a new program at the University of Auckland, and obviously you're new to the job as well, so it's kind of a big moment. But we're here to kind of talk a little bit about what your research is. Can you give us a bit of background in what your concerns are with sustainability and design and how it all kind of came together for you?
Well, I chose to study industrial design when I was younger. And you know, when you study industrial design, your dream is like to make these awesome products.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I loved furniture. And you know, I thought like furniture was like a functional expression of my art somehow.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I started doing furniture for like rich people. You know, designing custom wine caves.
Nice.
I come from a wine region. So then I moved to Milan because I got this great opportunity. And I started doing postgraduate studies there. But then I ran into this subject that was design for sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
I was so lucky because I studied under one of the main voices of this field. And then I was like, oh no, I can't keep doing this. You know, the world does not need more chairs or more tables. So if I'm going to use, you know, my design skills is to actually solve, you know, these problems that we created.
Mm.
And that's the design dilemma, because you're either part of the problem or of the solution. So if you design, you know, guided by the market, you have to sell things in order to make money.
Yeah.
And most of the times those things are just not needed.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like you run into this wall and you're like, okay, so I can like try and keep doing this that I know it's kind of not right by the, you know, in this moment where we're living in 2020, or I can like turn, you know, to a very different path.
So how did sustainability kind of present itself to you? Obviously you were interested in these concerns and had that moment where you're like, oh, I can't necessarily keep going with this. But what was it about sustainability specifically that you thought this is something I can take my design knowledge and apply it to?
Okay, so the traditional approach to sustainability in design, it's like a kind of like green cosmetic solution, right?
Right.
So you change the materials and probably the energy consumption of a product. But there I learned that you can go way deeper than this.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper that you go, you know, the more innovation opportunities that you have and the more change that you can foster, let's say.
Yeah.
So the deeper change you can make is try to use your design skills to change the way that we relate to each other, the way that we produce and the way that we consume. And that's so much broader than just working on materials and energies.
It's kind of a mentality shift. You're sort of getting people to understand why their products are the way they are and how that can change as well. It's a massive undertaking in many ways. Are there lots of people working in this field, or is it still kind of sparsely populated?
Well, I think I thought it was more diffused, but apparently not. And even though now I moved to New Zealand, which is like the greenest country on earth, probably, or one of the greenest, at least that's what they say.
That's what they'd like us to believe. Yeah.
But and here you see a lot more openness and the conversation is a lot more educated on that. But there's still so much to do. So we, you know, that's why they kind of like, I got this job, which was, I don't know, there were like 85 people applying to it. And
wow.
I'm like, why did I get it?
Well, congratulations. Obviously, there's some very significant reasons for that.
Yes. So there was a vision to make the career very sustainable.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued about how you teach design sustainability. Like, how do you kind of like, I guess, pass on that sort of new knowledge? And I say new because I guess it is only in the last however many decades that this has really been a conversation
yeah.
in any industry, let alone in the design industry as well. But how do you kind of pass that on to students in a way that I guess helps people understand? Do you find that kids are already coming to you with a quite good knowledge of it? Or
I think there's a whole range, because some kids, I'm very surprised that they really educated. It's a generation that grew up with this problem and they have the motivation and the passion, let's say, to really try to change the future, right? Or try to make a future for themselves. And the way I teach it, it's like that. Like I go from the product-based change to a behavioral-based change.
Right.
And there are many in-betweens. And when you use, you know, contemporary design has been shifting. So now, you know, graphic designers or product designers are just, you know, technical skills somehow.
Yeah.
And, but it's like the mechanics or the ways of thinking behind design that are being used strategically for things that have nothing to do with products and services. So for example, you have a designer in, like a very famous designer now as a design chief in ANZ Bank, right? And you have, you know, all these companies that have innovated and gotten really big through design. So it's these strategies that we teach students to use. And these strategies range from, you know, thinking, I mean, as an example, can I provide an example?
We'd love to hear an example, yeah.
So for example, let's say if you drink water from a water bottle, you know, you buy in a shop, you have this plastic water bottle, it's disposable.
Yeah.
So that's very unsustainable, let's say. So the incremental change would be, you know, when they redesign these packages and they say, no, we have thinner walls, 30% less plastic, recyclable and something. But that doesn't really change anything.
It's
you
just
know?
A small, small... That's that cosmetic
change,
stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so small. And even because they can't control the whole system because they're not sure that that bottle's going to get recycled, right?
Yeah.
So
you can't make someone put it in the recycling bin.
So it's like just product-based. The product is still the same. Then you can go deeper and say, okay, we sell a reusable water bottle. So people do a little bit of behavioral change. They refill their water bottle, they bring it from home. But then there's also a creation of opportunities for purchase.
Okay.
Because people have a lot of water bottles or, you know, they kind of still do the same. Let's go all the way deeper and say, okay, what about, you know, if the satisfaction is to drink water when you're not at home, how do you do that? Well, maybe water fountains, right? In public spaces. But what if, you know, what happens if we can't put water fountains and we can't depend on the state or in the government to do this? So, you know, what if it was all right to knock on a door and ask for a glass of water?
Yeah.
What if every house had a pitcher of water and a glass, you know, standing out of their door for anyone that's not in their home to drink, you know, drinkable water? So that change, it's definitely not market driven.
No.
It's not good for the market, but it's more social and it's more grassroots.
So it's a cultural change. It's not not just making products more environmentally friendly or making the market more environmentally palatable. It's actually, you know, changing people's mentalities and a culture shift. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And that's called social innovation. And it's like one of the deeper approaches to this. And now social innovation is also a buzzword and sometimes it's misused.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a big range of applications. And it can be for profit, non-for-profit, or kind of in between.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you, Gabriella Barron, a new lecturer at the design program at Auckland University. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us about these huge concepts that I think hopefully will just be more and more prolific as we kind of go along, eh? So thank you for coming in today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.